The Week's Geek, hosted by Ralph Tromsey.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Saturday. That means a new episode. So I am happy to be here. First things first, appreciate all the support that y'all gave us on the last episode. And just a quick update, next Wednesday, we're going to have our co-host. So next Wednesday, first Wednesday of June, we'll finally have our co-host and finally be able to get our official Wednesday episodes in. So I'm excited for that. I've taken all your suggestions, and with the help of my team, we made a decision. So be on the lookout for that. But today, we have a great episode. I'm excited for this episode. We have, you know, the man, the myth, the legend, the real legend here, Ezra Molina. So Ezra, how are you doing, sir?
You know what? I am doing absolutely fantastic. Hello, everybody.
And we happy to have you on, man. When you texted me asking or telling me that, you know, you'd be down to be on, I had a big smile on my face.
I am so glad to hear it. I am so happy to be here.
For sure, man. We can see the excitement in your voice. Yeah, you know, we've been friends for a very long time.
Since first grade or something.
Oh yeah, it's a while. Yeah. So feel free just to introduce yourself. You know, what should we know about good old Ezra Molina?
Okay. Hello, I'm Ezra Molina. I am a 17-year-old burgeoning movie aficionado. I've found that I'm really into it. I love talking about them. I love complaining about them. I love doing all the fun stuff that I do. Yeah.
I like that. Cool. First things first, I gotta say something real quick. Okay. So last night I was prepping for this episode, but there was one thing that was in my mind the whole time. And I don't know why I remember this, but I gotta tell you. Okay. So back in, I don't know if this was first grade, maybe second grade, I don't know. But there was a time where we were on the phone. Okay. And I forget what it was. I don't remember if it was a 3DS or what it was, some Nintendo thing. Okay. And I guess we were trying to friend each other. Well, you were trying to friend me on it. But so you were telling me like what to do, you know, how to put in the code and all that. But in reality, I was on the other side of the line without the system. Okay. So I didn't have it. And I was kind of going along with them. And I just remember saying like, oh, you know, this isn't working, you know, this and that. When in reality, I didn't even have the 3DS. So
I actually do remember that. I remember being really sad I couldn't friend you.
I don't know why I remember it this clearly, but I had to bring that up. I don't know.
Of course. I forgive you for your lies and deceit.
Oh, I appreciate that, you know. My life is complete now that I'm forgiven, you know.
Of course, of course.
Appreciate it. Yeah. So yeah, you know, we've been through a lot, you know, in school and in even, you know, the world of YouTube even.
Oh
you know?
Yes. who could forget our famous rap battle against one another?
Oh man.
Classic stuff.
You know, I wish I still have that video. I miss that video, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've been through a lot, but I'm glad we could set this thing up and have a little conversation here.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be fun.
For sure. So let's get right into it. You know, we're just talking about, you know, all things movies.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, how did you first, you know, get into, you know, this part of entertainment, you know, and watching movies and all of that?
Well, that's kind of a little bit of an embarrassing story. Not embarrassing, but when I say what got me into movies, it's something that other movie people would look down on me for. I was watching like HBO or some sort of television movie network, and a movie called Mallrats came on, and it's like the stupidest movie. It's about two guys trying to like trash a game show, and it's just a really, really dumb movie, but it was so, I don't want to say relatable, but the dialogue was so like just similar to how I talked and stuff. And then I realized, oh man, you don't need crazy explosions and like saving the world and, you know, magic rings to make a movie. It could just be guys talking. And then I got into more movies with other guys talking, and then that made me get into more and more movies of all different types.
Cool, yeah. So, obviously you say, movies don't really need to have, explosions and all that. It could just be your guys talking, right? In your opinion, what makes a movie, great?
Oh, that's a hard question because there are a lot of great movies that I really just don't like and don't connect with me. Oh, that's a tough one. I think what makes a great movie, I think more than anything is a great script. Like you have to have, doesn't even have to be a story, but there's got to be something, some sort of interesting focus, and you have to bring something interesting there. Does that make sense? Like you can have the best visuals in the world, you can have tear-jerking acting, but if there's nothing interesting there, if there's nothing to hold the audience or make them think, it's not a great movie.
So, what would be right now, what's your top movie right now?
That's a hard question because as the seasons change, so do my favorite movies. One that I love that I feel like everyone loves is Back to the Future. It's just such a perfect like blockbuster popcorn movie. It's just so good. There's nothing wrong with that movie. Like it's perfect. But right now, I guess my favorite one that I've been repeatedly coming back to for more is it's a Tim Burton movie. It's called Ed Wood. It's based on this like late 1940s, early 1950s filmmaker who just made horrible, horrible like B movies like Alien Invasion and like Dracula ripoffs. And it's a movie with a lot of heart. It's about the guy, and it's got great dialogue and it's got great cinematography. It's just such a joy to look at and listen to. And I think that might be my favorite one right now, but it'll probably change tomorrow, so who knows?
Cool. Yeah, so I should have said this in the beginning. I am not a movie type of guy, okay? But I feel like right now in this quarantine, I'm trying to get, into these movies, and trying to catch up, watch some of these great stuff. For someone like me or someone listening who, is not really into movies, they kind of want to get into it. Where would you start? Where would, what are some, go-to movies that you would just recommend?
Okay, that's also kind of a tough one. For me, I mainly recommend for people based on, because nowadays people don't really rent movies or seek them out, especially now with the stay at home thing. So I mainly just recommend based on like what services they have, and then I look on there and I see what's good. One that's like a stereotypical everyone loves it movie, but it's like a great jumping off point into more like different and abstract forms of cinema is Pulp Fiction. That's one everyone has seen, everyone loves it. But it's just different enough from the norm that it can get you into some really fun stuff if you fall down that rabbit hole.
Cool, gotcha. Yeah, later on I was gonna bring up the movie as well, but let's change it up a little bit. What is your favorite, let's say, or your favorite era of movies?
Oh, okay. My favorite era of movies is probably from around, let's say, okay, so Sound of Music came out like 1965. Like a year and a half later, like 1966, 1967, all the way up through the year 1980, that is gold. There is so much good stuff there. It became so much more like director focused and interesting and provocative and edgy cinema with like Bonnie and Clyde and The Graduate, all sorts of cool sci-fi from then on, great westerns. Yeah, I think the 70s is probably my favorite period in film history, definitely.
Cool. I have a couple of friends as well who would probably stay around that same area as well. So is that like in the movie, business, that kind of like a popular, era that most people tend to look to?
It's honestly, it depends on what type of movies someone makes or someone is into and like resonates with them. For man, that depends. For like blockbuster movies, like your Marvels and whatever weird fantasy Tolkien is coming out. Those are usually people who like those and stuff usually tend towards the 80s in film, because that's when the blockbuster started like bursting onto the scene with the second Star Wars and stuff like that. It depends. People who liked more chill movies, just kind of hanging out, people talking, really gravitate towards the 90s in American cinema and the 60s in French cinema. They're both like brothers from other mothers, I guess you could say. That's the stupidest thing I've ever said, but it makes sense. And I know that this was a poor way of answering your question, but I feel like it's the only way I can.
No. Yeah. And obviously as time, has gone on, we have nowadays we have, greater technology and all of that. You think technology has affected, movies in the current
Oh,
day?
definitely. Yeah. I think technology is kind of like a double-edged sword. I think it's a good and a bad thing. For smaller independent creators, just the existence of digital cameras is a godsend. They can, I mean, feasibly right now, you could go out and make a movie with just like your phone camera or whatever. People do that and they're successful. But I feel that like for big blockbusters and stuff, technology allows like a lot more things to look believable, as opposed to like the 70s and 80s, where effects are kind of shaky and stuff. But I feel like it takes something away, because now, because technology makes those effects so cheap, and it's just that's what you would choose. Other effects like stop motion and puppetry and all sorts of like using models in space, all those type of like practical effects that look good and are ageless and are really beautiful in their simplicity, I think those have just gone out the window. There's very few people who can still do those effects that are still alive, and they cost a premium. So all in all, I think it's a good thing though.
Because like me and like I said, I'm not a big movie guy, but when I do watch movies, I tend to like some of the older stuff, some of the more, as you kind of said, more of the more simpler type thing, when editing wasn't really its best, when technology wasn't there. More, like black and white films even. Like I don't know, there's something
Oh
about
yeah,
that.
no, I
There's
love I think I may love the look of black and white films more than any other. Not the content, but the look of it. It's just so transportive and simple. It's just, I don't want to say it's minimal, but it's minimal and it's beautiful in that way. I think it's really good. I think it's really good looking.
Yeah, there definitely is like a it's a different feel, and but obviously, times have changed, Austin. We have different technologies, you pointed out, that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. But I think it's interesting just to see, going in the future how much, something like movies have evolved, and how different they are in terms of, acting too. Acting nowadays is much different. You want to kind of touch base on that a little
Yeah,
bit?
what was so crazy about like the beginning of film is that for like going way back, in the very beginning, the acting was kind of horrible, because people would act like the same way for the stage. And so everyone would overreact, and that's kind of why like comedies and stuff were so successful then. But now going on, there's acting is just so great in movies now, because I mean, all these years later, people have realized that we can see any small minute difference in the face, with the camera up on them. Every little twitch of an eyebrow, or what have you. And people are really tapping into that. People like DiCaprio, Phoenix, just all the big popular people. It's getting harder to find a bad actor on the big screen.
So, when we're talking about movies, we've kind of touched on what some of the great movies are and kind of what, goes into a good film. What makes a
Ooh,
bad film, in
that
your
is a
opinion?
fun question. I think the biggest thing that can make a bad film, you can have bad acting, you can have all these things, and it can make your movie bad. But the worst offender that can make a movie, I think that, okay, pausing on that, I think that the worst movies, the absolutely bad ones, are the ones that are mediocre. Does that make sense? Because bad movies, they make an impression, you remember them, and they can be fun. But mediocre movies that are just okay, those are the worst kind, because you don't even remember watching them. I think that a lack of focus can really bring out that mediocrity, and it can just ruin anything. But for I guess like textbook bad movies, the biggest offender is just bad writing, probably just bad structure and a horrible dialogue, because that's the backbone of any good movie, and if it doesn't have that, it just won't work.
And where does that come from? Does it just come from, the person writing the film, or, where exactly, do they like go wrong, or to
It
say?
can go wrong in a lot of places. It can often for like bigger budget movies, your Marvels, your space operas, what have you. The biggest problem can often be people from the people backing the movie, and people who are producing the movie, and often the writers at fault, but it's often those people, because when you're dealing with all that money, they want things a certain way, and like this actor has to be in this scene. They need 45 minutes of screen time, no less. You know what I mean? And some of those can really derail a movie and really mix it up, especially when the writer can't see eye to eye with those people, and especially the director. It can just get really mixed up fast, and I think people just get a little irritated and just give in, and it can turn into a bad product.
Gotcha. That's definitely it's interesting. But time has gone really fast here. I want to come back to that, but before that, we're gonna move into
Right.
halftime real quick, get some rapid fire questions, and then we'll get right back into that
Okay.
conversation. So rapid
Oh,
fire, are you ready,
I'm
sir?
so ready. I've listened to all halftime times, and I've studied them. I'm ready.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So question number one. What is your all-time just favorite, like most life-touching lyric in a song that you've ever heard?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
Hey, I say it every time.
Yeah.
We stump people in these, man. That's what we do here.
I can't think of one at the top of my head. I can think of one. I can't think of a specific lyric from the song. Hold on, let me think. Okay, I think I got it. From the song "Seasons in the Sun" by, I think, Terry Jackson. Yeah.
I do.
I think it's the line like, "Goodbye, Papa, it's time to die." I kind of have a big fear of death. That's like the one thing I'm afraid of, besides like spiders or whatever. And that just, ugh, sounds horrible. I don't want to die. So that always kind of gets me and makes me feel down.
Okay, I feel that. Okay. Question number two. Are you a fan of Skittles?
Skittles. I mean, I'll eat them. They're okay.
Oh, what's your favorite candy that has like many flavors in it, or
Many
like many colors?
colors. How many is many?
I mean, however many that may be, it's, I don't know. It's more than, let's say, just more than
Okay,
two
more
or
than two,
three, I guess.
three. All right, that rules out Reese's Pieces. That's two. I like the caramel M&Ms. I can't think of any that aren't M&Ms or Skittles.
Right, that, 'cause that's what when I was writing the question, that kind of what, got in my mind first is Skittles, because there's so many, flavors there. But I mean, let's just, okay, well, just say in general, I guess, right? If you're eating something, let's say candy or whatever they may be, and you get to the bottom of the bag, right? Do you save your favorite colors for last, or your favorite flavors, or do you eat them all first?
Okay. So at the beginning, I'll just eat whichever one my hand touches. But at the end, I will eat the bad ones first, and then
Okay.
I'll eat whichever ones. I don't really have a favorite, just whichever ones aren't the yellow or green or disgusting ones.
Okay. I feel that. All right. So question number three. If you were to meet someone new, right, what are the top two questions that you would ask to fully get to know them?
To fully get to know them. Okay, that's hard. I'm not the best at getting to know people. It takes a while for me to for people to tolerate me. Maybe what type of music do you listen to? And what's your last name? Because the last name, you know what I mean? Like it you just that's important. If someone has like a bad last name, I don't want to be around them. No way. That hurts my credibility.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Question number four. Okay. Would you know, I would consider you a pretty, successful person, I'd say. Okay.
Thank you. Thank
You've done a lot in your lifetime, right?
you.
What are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? That's a tough one. I don't really have any trophies or awards or anything interesting. I guess what I'm most proud of is I guess a script I've been working on over the past year I really like. So I guess I'm pretty proud of that.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Cool. All right. So our final question.
Yes.
I'm
I think
sure
I
you
know the
know of
question.
it. Hey man, we gotta bring it on every
Of
show.
course,
It's
of
a
course.
tradition now.
Let's see, guilty pleasure, man. I have no clue. Santoro knew this right away, but
Oh yeah.
I really can't think of anything that that I'm guilty of. That's a guilty pleasure.
Right.
I guess I really like to pace, if that makes sense, like on a phone call. I'm not doing it right now, but like if I'm on a phone call, I'll just kind of walk back and forth. But I wouldn't say that's a pleasure. I think that's just more like, I don't know, OCD or something. Guilty pleasure.
I
I don't
love
know.
this question, man.
I like to collect things. Is that guilty?
I mean, I guess I don't know really.
I don't know.
I think we can count it, I think.
All
I don't
right,
know.
I think that works.
Okay.
It
I just love that question, man. I don't know.
always
But
gets such interesting answers.
right. That's what, yeah, that's the thing about it. You could touch so many areas with this one question. It's
Oh yeah.
great. It's
Oh, of
great.
course.
Cool. All right, y'all. Well, there's your halftime questions for today. We got some great answers in there. Yeah. It's good. Cool. So we're gonna go ahead and get right back into it after our word from our sponsor, Anchor. All right, y'all. So we're just gonna get right back into the fun here. So far, it's been a great episode. So again, appreciate you for coming on.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you.
But perfect. So we're gonna get right into something that I've been looking forward to in this episode. But in terms of greatest of all time movies, right? You think of, I don't know, things that come to mind for me: The Godfather, Citizen Kane,
Of
Pulp
course.
Fiction, like you brought up earlier, Casablanca, all those movies, right? But for you, what is your personal just top five just greatest of all time movies?
Greatest, not my personal favorite, right? Okay. Oh, okay. It's hard to assign a number one pick.
Right.
I think my personal favorite, I think the one that affects me the most and seems to affect a bunch of movie people is the film. It's called Eight and a Half. It's by an Italian director, Federico Fellini. He's a surrealist. Like, all of his movies are realistic, but they're also dreamlike, if that makes sense. There's a duality there. And that movie's off the chain when it comes to just technique and writing and structure and all these things. That movie is so great. I think it's really underrated. I think it's one of the best movies ever made, for sure. Number two, I think I may also go with Citizen Kane, as you said, because that movie is just. It's just so far ahead of its time, you know. Compare that movie that came out in 1941. Compare that to The Maltese Falcon, another fantastic film, same year. There's just such a difference in technique, you know. Other films in 1941 were very, just one big set. The camera follows the guy. Cut, camera follows him. You know what I mean? It was really about the writing and they're more like radio plays that you can watch. But Citizen Kane, the transitions, the cinematography, it's all very modern. It actually seems like something, except for a couple things, but it seems like something that could come out today and still be great and be very experimental and fun. And I think that's a movie that was like 60 years ahead of its time. Number three. Oh man, this is hard. Okay, do you mind if I get into my personal favorites here?
No, go for it. Go
Okay.
for it.
My number three movie is it's very odd, but I feel like it demonstrates something that's very important for loving movies and stuff. It's a movie called Evil Dead 2. It is a horror comedy. It's like a mix of The Three Stooges and like Night of the Living Dead. And it's a movie that you look at it and you think that looks stupid, but it's just extremely well done. It's tightly edited, it's well written. It's fun. It's got all these things, and I think it's just important. The reason why I said it is I think it's important for a lot of people to realize that not all great movies, not all perfect movies have to be like the hoity-toity character studies of a given character or something really I don't like the phrase Oscar bait, but let's just say Oscar bait, drama. It can just be a fun horror comedy. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's done really well. And then, oh, number four. Okay, two more. Okay, let's think about this hard. I think Pulp Fiction is definitely up there, but I'm not going to put it on the list. I just thought of one. So you mentioned The Godfather. People love The Godfather. I love The Godfather, part two especially. But a movie that I love much more and that I think is way underrated, because when it was released in like the 80s, it was completely botched. They released the wrong version. It was bad. It got bad reviews. But over the years, people have come to appreciate it. It's a little movie called Once Upon a Time in America. It's about a band of like Jewish New York gangsters in like the early 20s, like Prohibition era. That come up, and it's like a 3.5 hour movie. The full cut's like 4 hours, and it follows pretty much their whole life from up when they're like 10, up to their deaths and when they're old men. And it is a superb movie. I feel one that's really, really underrated. It's one of the few movies that almost gets me to cry. It's really good. Good stuff. And then the last one. The big last one I'm gonna say to leave an impression. Oh, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it's a little movie called In a Lonely Place. It's a It's a little black and white film. It released in, I believe, 1950. And it's about this screenwriter. It's Humphrey Bogart. So he's very very witty, mean guy, who is believed to have murdered this girl. And it's like a noir film, so it's very low budget. It's got a big sense of mystery. It's just so well done. The sets are very basic, but what's done with them is really impressive. The dialogue is off the hook, fantastic. And there's a lot of good, how do I say it? A lot of well done. We're gonna make up a word. We're gonna say tension. There's a lot of good tension. That's the word. There's a lot of great tension throughout the movie because we don't know if he did kill this girl. We don't know, and now he's with another girl. And it's more than that. It's even about their relationship. And the guy is, I hate the phrase toxic. People overuse it, but he's like a mean guy. He's borderline abusive. He loves the girl, but he's not the best guy. And there's just so much going on there. And it's like an hour and a half, but it's one of the best hour and a halfs you can watch when it comes to movies. So yeah, I guess that's my little off the cuff top five.
Gosh, I like that. Yeah, let's just recap real quick. We have Eight and a Half,
Yes.
okay? Citizen Kane,
Yes.
Evil Dead
Oh, yeah.
2, Once Upon a Time in America,
Yes.
and In a Lonely
Yes,
Place.
sir.
Gotcha. I'm not gonna lie, those are from your descriptions here, I'm
Yeah,
interested. I'm not gonna
those
lie.
are all definitely no wasted time if you check that those ones out. Those are great.
Gotcha. Cool. 'Cause that's a big thing for me too. When I watch something, I don't want my time
Oh no,
wasted.
I
You know,
feel
like
that
I want to watch
completely.
something. Yeah. So I'm not gonna lie. That list is that's going on my list of movies to
The
watch,
watch,
definitely. So I yeah,
yeah.
I appreciate that. Cool. So, man, I can't believe how fast time is
I
going
know
here.
it's ticking.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, all right, we're gonna move into our last segment here, okay? And basically, we started this last week with our episode with Dimitri, okay? And we take the topic and we just throw it into life somehow, right? What is the message we can get from this random topic that has probably nothing to do with, life? How can we get some advice from it? So I'm gonna take a stab at this
Okay.
one, okay? So in terms of movies, right? But this was tough. I was trying to think about this morning, but when I think movies, there's so many different styles, so many different types of genres and eras,
Oh,
all of that.
totally.
And everyone has their taste, right? Everyone has, some people like 80s movies, some people like, all these types, right? I feel like it's the same in life. A lot of people, they take life differently. They have different mindsets, different, but at the end of the day, I think movies are, I don't know, just to entertain people, right? To catch people, to send out a message. And that's life, Everyone goes through it through different paths, different routes. But at the end of the day, I feel like we're gonna meet at one point, So I don't know, that's kind of my thinking, right? But I don't know, I didn't really put too much thought into it, but I don't know where I'm trying to get with that. But that's my thought. So let me hear, your thoughts here.
Okay, this is a hard topic to connect with that. You're right there. Just because there is, I mean, every movie says something different. They're all, you know what I mean? There's not just one thing. But I guess I'll say, I don't exactly know how to say it, but I'm gonna try. I think that it doesn't have to be the best movie, but the right movie that you watch, I think, can completely change your life and your outlook on life. Especially, character-based ones, and you can relate to them and you see them and you see how they accomplish things or they don't accomplish stuff like that. And I mean, I think that at the end of the day, if you watch them to entertain, great, that makes your life better. If you watch them to like learn and to take from, great, that makes your life even better. I just think that as I just think that you really can't go wrong with it. I think that at the very least, it can make you a little happier at a current point. But I don't know, that's such a hard topic to relate to.
Yeah. So that's kind of, just a little challenge I just decided to start here. With last week's episode, we had technology. It's like, how do you relate technology to, like life? But so yeah, I like your thinking on
Thank you.
that.
Thank you. I like yours as well.
But appreciate it, appreciate it. You see, we even turned you into a philosopher
Yeah.
here.
Yes, you did.
Cool. Well, hey, once again, man, it's been a
Oh,
pleasure. Thanks for coming
I've
on, man.
been so happy to be here. Thank you very much.
For sure, for sure. We'll definitely we'll get you on for part two
Oh,
as well
yes.
one of these days. Yeah. Perfect. Cool. Well, there y'all have it, man. Hopefully y'all enjoyed this episode. It was a lot of fun. We
We
overcame
did
the
it.
peak, and we'll see y'all at the next one. All right. So until then,
Adios.
adios.
Thank you.